Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Imagine for a moment if a sinless man were to walk the earth, doing good to everyone, helping everyone who came to him for help, doing everything right, obeying the law of God and of man, showing perfect love at all times to God and to his neighbor. If that sinless man were to speak nothing but the truth all the time, no deception, no lies, no twisting or bending of the truth, speaking according to God's word, always with the best of intentions and motives. If that sinless man were the wisest man who had ever lived and freely shared his wisdom, his knowledge, and all his gifts, if that sinless man were God himself come in the flesh, how do you think the world would receive such a man? Do you think they would praise him? Do you think they would say, "Now there is a good person. There is someone I want to be close to. There is someone I want to imitate"? You know they wouldn't, because the world already received just such a man, a perfect sinless man, God in the flesh, and the world hated him and rejected him and crucified him. The world wants nothing to do with a sinless man, especially if that man is God, because the world is not actually on God's side, but the devil's side. Jesus drives home that point with his question to the Jews in the gospel that you heard today: "Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me?" No one could convict Jesus of sin. No one could show from Scripture where he had made a single mistake in word or deed. He was the sinless one. He was the truth teller. But they couldn't handle the truth. He told the truth about the requirements of God's law, which centers on love and mercy, but it wasn't the world's idea of love and mercy, where you encourage people in their bad behavior. It was the kind of love that loved God first, that acknowledged God's creation, God's design, God's will, and God's commandments as the truly good and loving thing, both for God and for man. It was the kind of love that told people who didn't already acknowledge their sinfulness that they were sinners who deserved death. But when people acknowledged their sin in repentance, he loved them by showing them mercy, by telling them how he, the eternal Son of God, had been sent by his Father into the world to save just such people as that, sinful people. He offered them salvation for free through faith in him and forgiveness of sins to all who believed. But most didn't believe. They had dug in their heels in the devil's kingdom and preferred to remain there with their idea of truth and love, which aren't God's idea at all. He who is of God hears God's words. "Therefore you do not hear, because you are not of God." This is what we heard St. John repeat in his epistle, which we discussed on Wednesday evening. How can people be so twisted? How can people reject plain truth and common sense and all the miracles of Jesus on top of it? Because they were not of God. They were of the devil, and the devil lies. The devil deceives. The devil convinces his children that down is up and up is down, that good is evil and evil is good. At the same time, the devil's children are famous for pretending to be God's children, even as they pretend that God's children are the devil's children. Do we not say rightly, Jesus, that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? We're the good people, and you disagree with us. Therefore, you must be a Samaritan, a heretic, basically. You must be a monster. You must be evil. We're the real Christ-like people, Jesus. Isn't that ironic? Jesus responded, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. No, Jesus isn't the one working together with the demons. It was those who rejected him that were. And he warns them of the coming judgment. You won't always be allowed to get away with mocking Jesus and dishonoring Jesus and opposing Jesus. For now, God allows it. God doesn't strike anyone down with lightning for such blasphemy against Jesus or against his people. For now, the world is allowed to hate Jesus and his followers because the world's hatred of Jesus means that Jesus dies. And because he dies, he pays for the world's sin and stands as the world's redeemer. And because he postpones his day of judgment, still not coming, still allowing people to mistreat Christians, the gospel is able to continue to be preached in the world. And more people are given the opportunity to be rescued out of the world and rescued out of the devil's kingdom. But the day will come, Jesus says, when all who have opposed him and his people will be stricken down, not with lightning, but with everlasting fire, if they do not repent before then. At the same time, even death can't harm the one who keeps Jesus' word. He shall never see death, Jesus says. The world's opposition and the devil's rage can't do any permanent harm to believers in Jesus because the devil and the world may kill, but they can't drag anyone's soul to hell apart from the will of Jesus. And he wills that the one who believes in him should be taken safely through death into his heavenly kingdom and paradise. The Jews couldn't stand that Jesus was saying such things, promising such things to keep people's souls safe through death, to give them eternal life. To them, the greatest men who ever lived were Abraham, the father of the Jews, and the prophets who preached. Well, they couldn't escape death. So to the Jews, it was ridiculous that Jesus should promise such a thing. But at the end of our gospel, he reveals why he has the power and the right to make such promises. Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus wasn't just the greatest man to ever live, the sinless man. He was and is and ever shall be the eternal God who called Abraham in the first place, who made all those promises to Abraham that you heard in the first lesson, who created the world, who will be there to judge the world at the end, who always was and always will be, the one who holds the power of life and death, who condemns to hell and who justifies to eternal life. This claim on Jesus' part made the world hate him even more. But at the same time, it's the very reason why we dare to put our faith in Jesus, why we dare to oppose the world, not in anger against the world, but in steadfast faith in Jesus and steadfastly standing on His truth without budging. It's why we allow ourselves to be persecuted by the world and hated by the world, because we know that this Jesus is. He is the eternal God who doesn't change, who holds the future in His hands. And we know that no matter how much the world may hate us or how much we may suffer in the world, Jesus, the eternal God, will be there on the other side of death to vindicate us. Hence the name for today, the fifth Sunday in Lent, the Sunday before Palm Sunday, Judica. Judge me, vindicate me, O God. Prove me right and grant me justice against those who oppose me unjustly. That was the Messiah's own prayer in Psalm 43. And we see in today's gospel why he had to pray it, because he was opposed unjustly by mankind. But he was also vindicated, proven to be right in the end by his Father, and made King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And just as he was vindicated on Easter Sunday, so he will vindicate all those who trust in him on the day of his appearing. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.